Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
CEO, 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 CEO. You're going to have to get used to that, everyone, because you're going to hear it a lot over the next coming weeks, months, and years, because Mercedes Moné is officially all elite and debuted big business. I am Luke Owen, DAD. This is Tempest. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of AEW Dynamite. Big business. Please do press the subscribe button, give us a little thumbs up, leave a comment down below if you're watching this on demand, giving us your thoughts on this episode. And if you're joining the live chat, everyone seems to be loving the fact that we opened with the CEO thing. Join the live chat and let us know what you thought of the episode there. But if you want your thoughts read out on the air, wrestletalk.com/support is where you want to be. I've kind of got two like trigger things in my head when I'm doing a show live. One of them is that door opening, because I'm usually expecting you to walk in and tell me a Fightful Select report.
Sure.
That something has either brilliant happened or something bad has happened. Or the live chat goes really like rapid,
yeah.
Which is usually no audio, no audio, no audio. This was everyone just either going lame, cool, lame, cool, or CEO, CEO. So yeah, I'm going to do a poll out of the bat. Like, we're early doors in this, you know, people are still coming in, welcoming themselves into the stream, but I want to do a poll straight off the bat, because I've seen some people really love this debut, because she looked awesome. I've seen some people who don't like the fact that Mercedes Moné has joined AEW, and rather she'd gone back to WWE.
Sure.
And I've seen some people just be like, eh, it was a mid-debut. Like, a fine debut. She appeared, she said some things, she was at the end of the show. Nothing to write home about. Mm-hmm. Feels like almost the reaction feels more like the news is bigger than the event itself, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. So I thought I would get a bit of a, let's just do a chat now. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle of just what you thought of this debut. Was it good, bad, mid? Let's find out. Let's test the waters. Because Mercedes Moné, as we all expected, debuted on the show.
Yes. Didn't see this coming.
I mean, it's not the fact that WWE themselves, AEW themselves were like, look, it's called a boss turn.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes Moné, about 3 hours before the show, put out boss and was like, gee, I wonder who could be debuting here. But yeah, what did you make of it?
I thought it was pretty darn cool. Honestly, like, sure, she didn't come out there and get interrupted by Britt Baker or Toni Storm or set off some huge angle that's going to be the main event of Dynasty and this thing that's going to carry us through to the summer. But I also wasn't really expecting that. I was kind of expecting what we got, in that it wasn't exactly the same as like the CM Punk debut, which is kind of what this has been compared to in the lead up, in that it was wink, wink announced that she was coming in.
The worst kept secret.
Yes. The worst kept secret kind of surprise, where it was, you're going to tune in because, you know, she's showing up. She's going to show up, say, hello, I'm here now. Probably set up her first program. And that's it. And that's what we got. And I didn't need it to be more than that. I got to see Mercedes show up in a Mercedes, which I thought was a damn fine touch.
I didn't spot that. But yeah, good touch.
And she shows up, comes down to the ring, and this was big business, and she stood on business. She was a superstar of all superstars. And there are a lot of those going around in AEW right now. And I can't tell you maybe a time ever that a woman's wrestler showed up in AEW like this. Just she was the debutante star where she comes down to the ring. Everyone's doing the chant and she comes out looking like a million bucks, gets in the ring and feels like the biggest star in wrestling for those 15 minutes. It didn't need to be an incredible promo. And even still, I thought it was a good promo. I thought she went out there and had a very heartfelt, very emotional deal where she's talking about her family, talking about coming home, talking about, you know, a lot of it was, there's a lot of people in the back. I can't wait to wrestle. And also the first one's going to be Willow Nightingale. Mm-hmm. And I saw all that and went, awesome.
Yeah. Kind of, it's like what it needed to be. Like, this was more about, here is what her presentation is in AEW. Here's her new theme. Here's the new chant you're going to need to learn. And they baked that into the song, which I think it's what Seth Rollins has done, and it's worked wonders for him, because like that's become part of his character now. It's like that is, it's in the song. So the fans do it, and then the fans do it after the song. Mm-hmm. So, and that had, the same thing happened here. The fans start chanting CEO, like the song tells you, here is what the chant is for this person. So I thought that was all great. I thought she looked awesome. Like, she just looked like a megastar.
Yep.
She came down to the ring. She cut the promo, like you mentioned. She had to create magic and moments. She gave a shout out to Eddie Guerrero because it's a Mercedes Moné promo, and that is one of the things she likes to do. And then she was like, why am I here? I want to be here. AEW is the only place where this revolution can be global. I was the first woman to main event a wrestling pay-per-view in this very building, which was a cool thing. And then she was like, I'm going to be here for the main event of this show, which is Riho versus Willow Nightingale, because Willow was the person who, you know, unfortunately injured her in Mercedes' last match.
Yeah, well, kind of, sort of.
Like,
she was the opponent in the match where she got injured.
Kayfabe-wise, yes. Like, she is the woman who injured her, but, like, really was just a freak accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, I didn't even mention that on commentary. It was a belt that was supposed to be for Mercedes, but Willow won it instead. And so they, you know, tied into a lot of that history. I thought it was just a cool presentation. The first dance comparisons I get, because it's a show sold on the worst kept secret, opens the show. Mm-hmm. Like, and it is just like, there are a lot of comparisons, but it's not like she came out and cut a CM Punk pipe bomb promo. She didn't come out and like burn all of her bridges with the hope then that she has to rebuild them in 3 years' time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really must say, like, this woman has such an aura about her. And that's something that you just can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the respect in the world for Mercedes Moné and what she has done since leaving WWE. I was a big fan of her matches in New Japan, the triple threat match she had with Azumi, and I forget the third person in the match, but incredible stuff. And I thought her work translated very well to the Japanese style. And there was a part of me that was hoping we would get to see more of that. Maybe we would have if she didn't get injured. But now, seeing that get added into the AEW women's division, which we've been talking about in the last few weeks, or the last few months even, is kind of on its way up, potentially as a preparation for this moment.
Yeah.
And now you've got a number of wrestlers who you would like to see step up to the level where they could be a realistic opponent for Mercedes Moné. I think this promo did just what it needed to.
Yeah.
I think that it set up her first program, which is exactly what you'd probably want out of this kind of show. And it's a match that she will probably win. It should be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks cool. She's got Walter's music, which interesting.
Yeah.
But not bad.
No, it's a very cool theme. Like, you know, a lot of people pointing out there, it's like, it's Walter's old theme,
yeah.
Which I've been calling for WWE to bring back because A, it's free licensed music. Like, yeah. There's no copyright on it, so just use Walter's old music. It's way better than his current one, which is, well, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So, but like, I thought it was very, very awesome. Very cool way to present her. I just wish they'd run a video package beforehand. I worry that the casuals won't know who she is. There'd be a load of people on Twitter being, who? You know, I feel bad for O'Shea Jackson Jr. He's not going to have a clue. But yeah, the other thing they didn't do was that there was no Toni Storm interaction, which I thought some people might have expected. There were, like you mentioned, there was no Britt Baker, no Saraya, no Hater return or anything like that. She has almost like, because she comes out for the main event. The main event of the show was Willow versus Riho. Willow gets the win. Good match, actually. Really, mm-hmm. really good match.
I thought, well, they put the demo god in it. Riho.
Riho was awesome in the match as well.
As she's one to be.
Excuse me. I am currently, I need to do the tracker, but I'm about 20 odd days into my 100 day cough that I've currently got. That's an actual thing, by the way. It's a thing going around in the UK at the moment, the 100 day cough. My wife just finished her bout of the 100 day cough, then I got it. Which means we will have spent a combined 6 months with a cough in the household.
That is just too much.
It's too much of a cough. What was I saying? But she's kind of like almost slotted herself into the mid-card title. Because it's the end of the show was Willow gets the win, lights go out, crowd already start chanting CEO because mm-hmm. they're expecting Monet to come out. So she bookends the show smartly, top of the second hour stuff, very, very smart. And it's Julia Hart and Sky Blue. They come down, they're beating up Willow Nightingale, and Mercedes comes out again, change of gear, runs down, makes the save, and hits her finish on Julia Hart. So it's kind of setting up something with Willow. She raises her hand afterwards because that's the person that she last had a match with. But also kind of sets her up in that Willow, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, Sky Blue picture as well. Mm. Which I don't think many people were expecting. I don't think I was either. I was pushing her more down the dream match route first mm-hmm. before you put her into the world title picture. What do you make of her going into this area instead?
It's interesting in that I honestly cannot quite see her ending up with the TBS championship. I do think that is the mid-card belt of the two, and I don't think that's the direction I would go with Mercedes Moné. Of course, that is all reliant on Willow Nightingale beating Julia Hart whenever that happens. Now, you would think that you would want to keep Willow hot for this match with Mercedes Moné, but if that's the match that maybe is, you know, a dynasty match, Mercedes and Willow, there's a lot of time between now and then where maybe Willow loses that championship match or gets screwed out of it. Maybe you see Mercedes turn before then. I don't know, but I don't quite see this all ending with Mercedes in the mix with mm-hmm. the rest of the TBS championship, you know, stuff. This little quartet of TBS championship contenders that we've been seeing for the last few months. I don't see that. It could happen, but I do think that long term here, you're looking at Mercedes and Britt Baker and Mercedes and Jamie Hayter, Mercedes and Toni Storm in time for Wembley. And that's still a few months away.
Yeah.
It's not that long away.
It's not, no. I think the final thing I wanted to say on Mercedes before we move on, it ties into a bit of news coming out of the show, is I think since the dawn of AEW in 2019, the one thing that you can always say about the company is, it's women's division's an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Feels like Tony doesn't care. Like, he does it because he has to, but mm-hmm. if he had the choice, he wouldn't. Because it's one match per show. It's they had to introduce a second title, and that then got them a second match on a pay-per-view, and it felt like the men's gets all of the focus, the women's not so much. Now you're spending all of this money on Mercedes Moné. You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to now put the effort in. And I feel like the last few months, she's apparently been there since January. She signed early Jan. So she's, you know, and I've been saying this on the show as well, it feels like they've been putting pieces in place to rebuild and put more of a focus on this division. But they've also announced a bit of a partnership with Stardom.
Yeah.
And now a good working relationship, which they didn't have previously because Tony and Rossi weren't really vibing, weren't yeah. really getting on, which is why we didn't have Stardom at any Forbidden Door stuff. And Dave Meltzer saying that this Forbidden Door is not just going to be AEW New Japan, it's also going to be Stardom and CMLL.
Mm-hmm.
I figure with the Stardom thing that we're going to see more focus on the women's division, more crossover, and I'd like to think more time given to matches and maybe just more matches.
Yeah, I would think so as well. Granted, I had a long discussion with Dan Layton on the Collision podcast just a few days ago about there only being one women's match on that show, and it really feeling like it could have used a second, especially considering some of the things that were on that show. But you look at the main event of this show being the Willow Nightingale Riho match. When you've got an incredible trios match on the show, you've got an incredible singles match between Darby and Jay on the show, you've got a world title match on the show. They went with Riho and Willow Nightingale for a reason. Of course, that being so that Mercedes, the big star of the night, can once again get involved. But I would like to think that this is also a bit of a sign of things to come a little bit. Because like you said, they don't have the option to make the women's division an afterthought now. They're paying too much money to, you know, some pretty big name people to come in. And really, I think everyone will be a lot happier with a balanced women's and men's division in terms of what gets on these shows. And you're not going to find too many people with more interest attached to them than Mercedes. So it's a good time to really have this all start to come together.
Got to look at the reason why she walked out on WWE in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It was because there was a lack of focus on the women's division, particularly the women's tag title scenes. Her and Naomi were like, well, we're done then.
Mm-hmm.
And they both walked out. And Naomi found great success in TNA. Mercedes went over to New Japan. Obviously, Naomi's now gone back. And Mercedes has gone to join AEW instead. But yeah, I've got to think that she is going to be pushing forward. She's got basically her own writer there now as well, Jen Pepperman. So I've got to imagine there's going to be much more of a drive to get Tony to be more focused on this sort of thing. And I think I'm trying to recall, the chat might be able to help me out with this. I'm pretty sure I've said on the podcast before, the only way Tony will really care about this division is if he gets a massive name like Mercedes Moné.
Right.
And that was like 2 years ago. And I was like, that's the only way I could see this happening. And now he's got her.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I've only got two more things to say on this matter.
Please do.
One, Mercedes Moné said Mia, which everyone's been pointing out on Twitter, and this time I actually picked up on it and went, oh my God, she does say that. And two, she never said Moné, which I can't believe.
Yeah. I mean, actually, final thing I would say, shout out to SRS.
Yeah.
And Andrew Zarian.
Take your victory lap, boys. You deserve it.
Man, that boy got some, well, them boys actually, they got some stick in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there being like, obviously, I didn't know. But as soon as I saw their reports, I'm like, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are two people that I trust. I saw their reports come out. I was like, yeah, cool. So then when she wasn't, I never went into the Royal Rumble being like, I bet you she's there.
Right.
In November, I was like, oh, they're setting up the Bayley thing. I was like, and I think I even said on the Saudi show,
which was
the
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel. When Kyrie came back, I was like, this is the time. You split them up, Bayley can find Sasha Banks, and you reunite Boss and Hug, and that'll be one of your big WrestleMania programs. Come January, and Sean was like, no, she's going to AEW. I was like, ah, okay, well, that's not the plan anymore. Man, so many people were like, Sean's got it wrong. She's going back. She's going to be at the Royal Rumble. Take your victory lap, bud.
Yep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's see what you thought of this. Please continue to vote in our poll as well. We'll end that just before we wrap up our Ultra Chat. We have a first one that's missed from our Raw review. Thank you to Pete for filling in on the Raw review as well while I was unwell. CK here says, this has been quite an intense show in a positive way, but I just want to add my support to Dan. Dan, I dig your content and it makes me happy to see you be you. To everyone else at Rest Talk and in the chat, please take care. I'll pass that on to Dan. He doesn't like AEW, so he won't be watching this stream. I would have taken a photo of it and WhatsApped it to him, but I haven't got my phone on me. Hannah here says, hello, lovelies. Apologies, I've been a bit quiet. That's okay. I've been a bit unwell, and I have my good days and bad days. Getting better each day, though, and I wasn't going to miss this one. Flipping excellence. I've been watching a long time with my WrestleTalk fam since the start of this whole AEW thing. Osprey flipping killed it, but the restoring the feeling line really resonated with me. That's what it feels like. It fills my heart with the same joy it used to, and it's the same joy I get from my favorite premium content creators and another CEO who could totally rock Monet's gear tonight, the entire WrestleTalk fam, and Mr. Davis, of course. Guys, this just feels special, and I'm so grateful as a fan of wrestling. No excuses, though. Now's the time for the women, too. Lots of love. Jam that jam.
Very well said.
Very, very well said.
We'll get into a lot of the things that were said during the show and everything, but I must say I wholeheartedly agree. This is a pretty good time to be a wrestling fan, you know, yep. In terms of the options that you have and the quality of wrestling wherever you want to find it. It's pretty good.
Eduardo here says, boo Ollie, Blue Beetle was good. Also, what do you think of heel Monet versus Soraya at All In? I put you out of commission once. This time I'll do it in front of your family and friends. Monet is the CEO as a double champ. P.S. Love you guys, but maybe not Ollie. No, you're not into it?
Not into it. Listen, there are many more people that I would book Mercedes Monet against at Wembley Stadium than Soraya. I'm sorry, we had the Mercedes on top run, or we had the Soraya on top run, and it didn't go well.
Nah, it was, yeah, I actually forgot it happened.
Yeah.
And I was there at that show.
I'll tell you what I remember, because I saw that finish coming together from a mile away. As soon as I looked over and you had Britt Baker locking in the lockjaw over here, and Soraya gets into the ring, I stood up from my seat and went, no! 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 Damn it! And that's exactly how I felt in the time and now.
Honestly, I'm with Robert here. Monet versus Hater.
That's what I'm saying!
That's the all-in match I'd much rather.
Like, I would love it.
I get putting Soraya on the poster, which is what they did for All In. Like, she was front and center of most of the advertising. I get it from that aspect of it. But Hater's the match I want to see.
Yep.
That's the match I want. Also, I really apologize, Eduardo, as well, because I know that's the second time you've hounded Ollie for not liking Blue Beetle. On the second show, he's not been on. But I will pass on your message as well. JP said, last night was the most fun and electric crowd I've ever been a part of. I popped so hard when she shouted out our local indie where she got her start, Chaotic Wrestling. Everyone should check out Commander versus Takeshita on Friday. It was great.
Takeshita match was good.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
The Derbies of Derps here said, "Hi lads, I'm personally sad to see Mercedes in AEW because I would have loved to have seen a Boss and Hug reunion. That said, she'll have some fantastic programs. I can't wait for her and Soraya. Also, is it just me or was her NJPW theme song much better?"
I was surprised that she didn't have it because, you know, it was like an original song for her.
Mm-hmm.
Saying her name over and over again. And I thought that song was, you know, cool. But at the same time, I do kind of see why they would change it. It doesn't have necessarily the same, like, and drop and chant and the sort of thing that you would maybe want in, like, North American wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get it on both sides.
Yeah.
Because I heard this and went, oh, well, I guess they changed their song. And then as it went on, I went, I understand why.
Once the chant, I realized that. Because, like, it even comes up on the big screen. CEO. CEO. Like, it is. It's holding up in a sign that says applause.
Yeah.
OGP, yeah, you know me. "Hey, guys, love the debut and the song. Sent the YouTube to my girlfriend who doesn't watch wrestling, and the first thing she said was, 'This woman can start a cult.' I'm like, yes, you get it."
Listen, she was in the right town for it. These people are going to follow her anywhere and support her.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, she sold out this building. You know, they sold out this building more or less on just the tease of her name, much like they did with Punk back in for that second episode of Rampage, the first dance. And it sold way better than last week's show, which had an advertised Will Ospreay match and a tease of Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know, certainly the news of Okada, certainly no tease on TV, but the news of Okada possibly coming in. So that's a big tick in the Mercedes box, I guess.
Yeah.
Sheldon here said, "What's wild to me is the fact that Okada, Ospreay, and Monet all debuted in AEW before Swerve versus Keith Lee faced each other in singles action."
Listen, that match is never happening.
It's never happening.
Maybe at some point we'll get the world title match when they put the title on Swerve. But I think the ship has sailed.
Yeah. I think, do you know what this is? This is Stardust versus Goldust.
Yeah.
Like, it is every time WWE kept going to Cody being like, "You can have the match with Goldust." "No, you can't." "You can have the match." "No, you can't." And then eventually it's like, "Yeah, you can have the match on this random B-show pay-per-view and you're getting 6 minutes.
And you're getting a weird, you got pinned, no, you didn't finish."
Yeah.
Stupid.
They will, like, Swerve will win the world title. Keith Lee will come out and be like, "We should have a match." And then on Rampage, they'll be 4 minutes long and be like, "Look, you got it, all right. You got your singles match. Quit bugging me about it." Punk Rock and Soda said, "Hey boys, I was there live and I can't begin to describe how electric it was when Monet stepped out. Really was a great show, except the Jericho stuff. He needs to go away for a bit. Live crowd was not having him."
Oh, we'll get to it.
I was sat next to a Canadian while he was watching this show.
It's not just Boston.
It's not. Golden Knights fan 84 said, "Hi Luke and Man in the Mask. I thought the show was great from top to bottom and loved Mercedes' debut. I don't get the hate from the fans who are calling it meh. I'm not one of them. Also love the channel and every one of you. Okada rules."
Facts.
That is, oh yeah. Do you know what? I'll just say it now because we'll get to the Okada thing in a minute. So glad to be wrong about Okada coming to North America.
It's early.
Dirty
we'll have a lot of singles matches on Dynamite in a year's time that we can talk about and revisit this point of view then. But as for right now, it's like my favorite thing.
Yeah, I love it. So, so great. Right, let's get into... Actually, no, let's just quickly end this poll. I will end the poll. Mod Mother, just let us know what you thought of the debut. And 72% thumbs up, 24% thumbs in the middle. So that's overwhelmingly, that's a good, that's positive. So yeah, lovely stuff. 3% thumbs down for the record with some percentiles in the mix somewhere. So we had the Mercedes Monet, then we had a recap of the Swerve Joe and Wardlow stuff from last week, and then Renee interviewed Samoa Joe, who's just awesome.
I feel like we say this every time, where he'll do a 90-second not even a pre-tape, but just like a backstage promo, and we'll just go, God, he's cool.
Yeah.
And this was another one where it's the same thing where he just speaks eloquently about how he's going to beat Wardlow's ass, and he hasn't forgotten what happened last time, and there's a debt to be repaid, and he's not going to lose in the Garden. And he said that and went, God, you're not from Boston, but man, that was cool.
It's awesome. We did have a video promo from Adam Cole, however, telling the story of Wardlow, how he was kept captive by MJF, but he's now found a brotherhood in the kingdom.
This was very Ring of Honor for those who were watching at the time. Story time with Adam Cole, baby, was like this.
It feels as well like it was signaling the return of MJF at some point.
Yeah. You'd like to think that, you know, I know a torn labrum can keep you out for a long time, but if it's 6 months, that's like only a few months away from when he left. I'm crossing my fingers that he's back sooner rather than later.
Which means our opening contest was, in fact, Joe versus Wardlow for the AEW World Championship. Wardlow started off super hot for this. He was beating Joe's ass around ringside, proper healing it up. He tore up a fan sign at one point.
Should have torn up the guy in the front row sign that kept holding it up, but that's another thing.
Yeah, there was a guy who really wanted to see Sammy Guevara tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 10 different signs about Sammy Guevara, and he cycled through them like that guy in Love Actually. Treating the hard cam like he was Keira Knightley, just cycling through them all.
That's the guy from Walking Dead.
It is, yeah. I know him from a Channel 4 show called Teachers back in the day because a friend of mine was in the cast for it.
Oh.
Yeah. Andrew Lincoln is the guy's name.
I've heard you speak about him before.
Anyway, my favorite spot of this was when Wardlow faked out the walkaway spot.
It's like no one's ever thought to do this before.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Because he went to do the dive, and then Joe did his walk away cockily, turned around, Wardlow's still up on the top, and then just dived in him. I was like, oh, that's a great spot.
It felt like I'm going to start doing this walk away spot again to all build to this in some match. And this was the one. And they told a really good story. It was like, oh, well, they were a former team. So he's got a lot of his moves scouted and such. It was really good.
Yeah. He did the dropping knee for a really good near fall, hit a power bomb, but eventually Joe got the clutch in, and I thought this was really cool because this is a very different dynamic for Samoa Joe. Gets in the Kikina clutch, jumps up onto Wardlow's back to really wrench it in and drop down. Usually Joe's like the bigger guy.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing him do this move to Shark Boy. To Amazing Red and stuff. Where it's just
to Darby like, Allin and Hook.
Exactly, yeah. Where I was just like, you're small. And now you're dead.
Yeah.
But Wardlow's a bigger dude. And it was so kind of wild to see Samoa Joe feel like the Darby Allin of the match. So he had to jump up onto his back to kind of choke him out. I thought it was kind of a rad finish for Joe.
Yeah. I don't know where this leaves Wardlow to go at all, because this did kind of feel like the payoff to his promo from a few weeks ago that kind of got people talking about him. I really liked the way they set up the finish here, where he does jump on his back and Wardlow like goes to the ropes and is close enough to reach them, but like his hand just kind of can't find it. And that's when he falls back and goes out. I thought that was really neat. And I like that the new trend in AEW is when any two big guys fight and they do the strike exchange spot, everyone just chants, meet, meet, meet. I feel like they tried to do that by design after the Meat Madness thing, and it's carrying on.
Yeah.
And I could very easily see this being just like the new thing wrestling fans do.
Yeah, particularly in AEW.
Yeah.
They like it in AEW. I haven't seen it transfer to any other show. Like,
well, we'll wait until we see a big Hoss fight match in another show, and maybe.
I mean, you know, Bronson Reed's currently calling for like a Meat Madness match for WrestleMania, because he's not getting booked for that show as it currently stands. So he's there and he's like, man, me, Ivar, Otis. It's like, we'll go out there, we'll just have a big, big dude match.
I'm here for it.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
That'd be rad. You've got two nights. You've got plenty of time. Granted, you've also got like four of your top stars already on night one, and then having singles matches on night two. But either way. So, I thought this was a good match, but I totally agree with you as well. Like, this came out of this, and particularly the end, because Swerve then comes out, beating up security guards. Joe walks away. Love Joe just being up one of the fallen security guards.
He, like, there's just a dead body on the stage, and he looks at it and goes, oh, and just nudges it off the stage. Brilliant.
Such a cool Joe thing to do. But, like, all the focus is Swerve. Because that feels like that's the Dynasty match. It's Joe versus Swerve. So, poor Wardlow. Like, I don't know where he goes here. And this has done nothing for the kingdom.
Well, yeah. I don't know how much you can really beat that horse where... Yeah, the kingdom didn't really work out since it's been, you know, brought out. And Roddy having, you know, title matches on TV will probably help that. Definitely can't hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where Wardlow goes from here. This was kind of the big thing to come out of that promo, as I said. And it really does feel like this act needs MJF to be inserted into the TV really soon, or else it's like, God, we're going to be sat here for another 6 months doing nothing. Like, the ROH tag champs got beat last week by a makeshift team of a Can You Coexist deal. And I went, it's not a great look for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And we've been saying that for a long time. But, yeah. Like, this is still, like, the kingdom within the Undisputed Kingdom was like, that's a credible team. You know, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett are not just a couple of schmoes that you beat. And they did. I went, I think that's very reflective on this whole group.
Yeah, I think we're going to be just spinning our wheels a little bit with this group until MJF comes back, until like Cole can wrestle. I just feel like they're just there. And I feel like, Shane, the only reason I said, like, I don't know what to do with the kingdom now is because I thought, following on from Revolution with Roddy winning the international title and Wardlow winning the meat scramble match, I was like, ah, maybe we're going to start getting some forward momentum here, because Wardlow was kind of those great promos on TV. I'm like, oh, this group's kind of picking up some steam. And it's all just, they're not really. I was like, cool. Okay, then.
Yeah. It's curious. We'll see how it goes. I am kind of quietly hoping that Kyle O'Reilly's thing is going to involve them in some way, just because I think that would make me care about them more.
Yeah.
I'm going to care about Kyle O'Reilly one way or the other, but bring everybody else up to my level of caring if they're all involved. But that didn't seem like the direction they were going on this show. But we'll get to it.
Marvez backstage interviewed the Elite and
swooning over this group.
Nick Tsupadova Okada being like, look, he helped us when we were at our lowest, and now we're helping him. The best athletes come together. That's why we're the Elite. And I can think of 14 million reasons why Okada has joined this group. And Okada then looks down the camera and is like, Eddie, Pac, Penta, I'm coming for you. Oh, by the way, Alex, you need to sing happy birthday to Matthew. And so he's like, oh, happy birthday, Matthew. And he went, no, sing it.
Bully Okada is my favorite thing. He's so excellent. I was really like, my worry with Okada coming to, you know, AEW and such was not just that I was worried that we were going to get 3-star Okada on TV. There was a part of me that was a little bit worried about, like, the North American TV presentation of this guy, not necessarily in terms of like, oh, is he going to be able to cut promos or things like that, but there's like a whole third of pro wrestling that is doing angles and your body positioning and your facial expressions during those things. And it's not like New Japan never does angles or anything like that, but doing them on TV is just a little bit different. But after last week, when he absolutely nailed the coming together with the Elite and then this backstage segment, I'm like, this is just going to be the best thing. This is going to be the best act in AEW all year.
And he was so awesome in the tag match as well. Like, proper adapting to a North American heel style of wrestling. Just like, because he's incredible. Like, you know, there's a reason why he's thought to be the greatest wrestler of this generation. It's because, well, yeah, he just slots into this role and he's so perfect at it.
It's not like his style is limited. You might think that if you're a little bit less aware of his body of work, just because so many of his legendary matches have, I don't want to say a formula to them, because it's not a formulaic match, but the idea that Okada's matches really get going in the second half,
it takes 20 minutes to warm
up. Yeah. That idea might make you think that Okada has his set style and everything. But really, if you go back and watch all the matches that he had during that 2-year title reign in particular, when he's facing Zack Sabre Jr. and he's facing Kenny Omega, he's facing Cody Rhodes, he's facing Mara Fuji, he's facing Tanahashi, all these different, Shibata, all these different people, and all those matches are completely different. He's one of the most adaptable wrestlers in the business. And this is a level I did not know if he was going to be able to adapt to, but my God, is it working.
Also, because he's now in North America, I never thought I would hear this in my entire life, but on a wrestling show, a commentator said, Okada reminds me of hardcore Bob Holly.
I had that thought as well. It's not the comparison that I would make.
I was like, I mean, they both got lovely drop kicks. I'll give you that, Taz, but like, that's North American wrestling for you right there. But it was the Elite versus Eddie Kingston, Penta, and Pac. And I said and wrote here because you had Monet, you were advertising Will Ospreay's coming up later on this show, and then you had the Elite, Eddie, Penta, and Pac come out, a returning Pac. And I was like, this roster feels stacked again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's still a bunch of names. Hangman's taking some time off. Omega's not around. Cole's not wrestling. MJF's not wrestling.
Bandido.
Bandido's out. Roosh is out.
Mark Davis.
Yeah, there's like a just guy and girl, like guy after girl and stuff. You're like, this roster's nuclearly stacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
You are not going to see this. Well, maybe you will, because I thought this about New Japan's roster from like 6, 7, 8 years ago. But my God, it doesn't feel like it can get better than this.
Yeah, and that's not to mention like the match after that. This is Jay White and Darby Allin, and Darby Allin's going to go away for a little bit as well. But yeah, anyway, onto this match. I thought Okada and Eddie were so great in this match. I thought Eddie was wonderful, as he always is, but I thought Okada was just so, so great. Immediately tagging out so he didn't have to face Eddie. There was a moment when Eddie was building to the hot tag, and I think it was Matt and Okada had gone around to like pull down his opponent, to pull down his tag partners, and Okada just jumps up into Eddie's tag corner, sort of offers him a tag. And then just, you know, this is like, ooh, hit me, hit me, hit me. And then, you know, Eddie goes to swing for him, and Okada drops down, turns around into a Matt Jackson clothesline. Thought like Okada was just so great in this. But isn't it great to see Pac wrestle again?
Sure is.
You came out and I was like, man, I've missed Pac. Really have. It was wonderful seeing him on Collision. And it was awesome seeing him wrestle here as well. This crowd were hot for this match.
You've never seen a man from New York get cheered so much in Boston. My goodness. I mean, you covered the things that really stuck out to me the most in this match, which were like the psychology between Eddie Kingston and Kazuchika Okada. Fantastic stuff. In addition to just, oh yeah, what is the other half of that or two thirds of that? It's the Young Bucks and Penta and Pac, which are just going to absolutely tear the house down in an awesome little tag format within this trios match. And it was just so good all the way down to the finish, which I saw it and I was like, that's a perfect finish. It's exactly what you want.
Yep.
And granted, when all this was kind of coming together, I thought that the positioning of the upcoming singles matches for Okada, that being with Eddie Kingston and with Pac, probably would have been reversed order in my mind. But if that's not the case, my goodness, we are absolutely going pedal to the metal, full steam ahead with this guy.
Uh-huh.
And I've said before that you don't always see AEW take that approach with their free agents. Like, you look at, like, Jay White came in and kind of took a while to really get going and such. And a lot of the time, you do have that grace period. But right now, between Will Ospreay just setting up a match with Bryan Danielson and this guy, Kazuchika Okada, going right after a title and having big match after big match after big match involved in, like, the hottest act in the company right now, setting up this finish, which was one of the Young Bucks getting in the ring and then having to be taken out by the referee, and I believe it was Nicholas hitting a low blow on Eddie right into a Rainmaker. Perfection.
Yeah.
Perfection.
I think one of the differences with Okada in comparison to Monet and Ospreay, you know, you're looking at those trios,
yeah,
is Okada's not just coming in and going for a title. Okada's coming in again, a character.
Yes.
Like, he's heel, he is aligned with the group, and he's immediately in the storyline. Will, I think you're doing the absolute smart thing, which is like, let's just introduce Will Ospreay to this audience and put him in dream matches where he can just go out there and have the best matches on TV. And Mercedes is already an established star, so mm-hmm. you can just put her out there. But Okada is just like, well, let's just do something different. I thought Okada coming in would be a attraction.
Yeah.
Wrestles, you know, 3 times a year on pay-per-view, or like almost like Sting was.
Sure.
So like, he's probably on every pay-per-view, but he'll be on random Dynamites or stuff, or like big-time Dynamites. But no, he's just like, he's wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestled on Collision, wrestled here on Dynamite, wrestling next week on Dynamite. Great.
It's a really good point that you just made with the different approaches to each person coming in. Because, yeah, Will Ospreay, and I mean, we're going to get to Will Ospreay on this show. But the attraction of Will Ospreay to this audience was immediately on display with his first two matches with Takeshita and then with Fletcher. 2 5-star-plus matches right out of the gate. And you will certainly see another one of those at Dynasty. That is going to be the real attraction to Will Ospreay, is look at him have these incredible matches. And granted, there are a lot of people in AEW that can do that sort of thing, but Will Ospreay is on a level above most. But with Okada, you do need to give people a bit more than just he's going to come in and have good matches, because, you know he's going to have good matches, but the appeal of let's go to the wrestling and see Okada come to town only, I imagine, would last so long. You maybe get a year of that.
Yeah.
But immediately slotting him in with the most interesting character work that I've seen him do in a very long time, I will not be able to put over this idea to put them with the Elite. Like, I won't be able to get over it. It's a brilliant idea. And I mentioned this in the office. I want to rename this group the Elitists.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah,
I think that would be fun. I don't know if they'll do that because branding and such, the Elitists, I think, would work really well for this trio.
But yeah, it's Eddie versus Okada next week, and I believe...
Toronto! I don't want to be there.
Yeah, because it's also Copeland and Cage next week as well in the I Quit match. But I believe as well, and chat might be able to correct me on this if I am wrong, only the Continental Crown Championship is on the line.
No, the I Quit match is for the TNT title.
No, I mean in the Eddie Okada.
Oh, I see.
So it's not also for the Ring of Honor Championship and the New Japan Strong Never Openweight Championship.
I was of the impression when this started that those three belts were just being unified into one.
Well, that's what I thought.
But he carries all three of them around. And I don't think Okada's going to wrestle as the Ring of Honor champion or the New Japan Strong champion.
It's not like Eddie wrestles as the Ring of Honor champion either.
That's fair. But I agree. It's strange.
Yeah, I feel like they did not think this through.
Yeah.
I feel that Eddie, and bless Eddie, he just went to Tony Khan and was like, listen, let me tell you about 90s old Japan. There's this thing I want to do where I have three belts. And Tony was like, Eddie, that sounds great. We'll make the C2 for a belt now. What does it mean afterwards? I don't know.
It's another belt. Yeah.
But yeah, I believe it is just that one belt that's on the line, not the Ring of Honor or the New Japan Championship, which I guess will end the Triple Crown.
Probably.
We'll have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a video package for Copeland versus Cage, which is happening next week in an I Quit match. So grunts galore, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then we had Tony Schiavone in the ring to interview Will Ospreay. There's a report that came out from Wrestling Observer Radio.
I was just going to bring this up.
That apparently, so obviously Will was having talks with AEW and WWE, and Triple H's attitude to Will Ospreay was, oh, he's a great worker. Like, we could bring him in and he can have great matches. Did not know he's also incredibly charismatic and he can cut a great promo and he's incredibly personable and he can just get over with any crowds. And apparently there were people who were telling him, no, you're wrong. Look at all the stuff that he can do. But Triple H is like, no, he's just a good worker. That's all he is. He's just a good wrestler. And now they're realizing, oh, he can do all of that. Oh, maybe we should have made more of a play.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Because. Because he came out here and was awesome, bruv.
Listen, there have been a number of quite hot shows since Revolution, just before, and everything. So when it's not a building of 10,000 people in Boston that are very hyped up to see a massive show, we'll see how he does and such with these promos, and not so much the promos, but the chanting along with his song and that level of reaction. But my God, right? This man comes out. And I genuinely feel, after watching these few performances of his, where I'm like, he's going to be the biggest star in wrestling. Not just the best wrestler in the business. He's going to be the biggest star in the business.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of Will Ospreay over the years, and I've always thought the world of his work, but I didn't see that coming.
No.
But this has been a fit and a half. holy smokes, what a promo, what a presentation. And it's not like he's going out there in his amazing gear. He's out there in just a footy jersey, and he goes out there and just blows everyone away.
Yeah, he is just Will Ospreay, and he just went out there. What I loved about this promo, a lot of this was about, like, it was hyping up the match with Danielson at the pay-per-view, and he said, I know that everyone backstage is talking about it. Everyone online is talking about it. Everyone in this building is talking about it. This idea of restoring the feeling. I am the feeling, bruv. And I love that. And it's like, and he's like, this is what AEW is all about. And as I was writing, this is what AEW is all about, Will just said, this is what AEW is all about. And I'm like, it is.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I've never really understood restoring the feeling or the feeling is back or anything like that. But I watched this man cut a promo and I was like, oh, I get it. This is what people are talking about. And now I see it and I feel it now. I thought this was incredible. But here's the other thing I loved about this promo. There's no work shoot stuff in here. There's no insider references stuff. This was just a down the line buy the pay-per-view to see my wrestling match pay-per-view. Buy the pay-per-view to see my wrestling match promo.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this promo was. You want to see the great wrestling match? You want to see me wrestle Bryan Danielson? This is why you want to do it. Buy the pay-per-view. And I was like, here's my money.
I'm sold.
I thought this was a tremendous, tremendous tremendous promo. I don't know why I keep getting that mixed up.
I mean, I completely agree. Where it's exactly as you said. He didn't need to, you know, skirt the line at all. It was just, I'm the best. You say you're the best. Let's find out which of us is right.
Yeah.
And we all know he's not going out there and saying, like, we're going to have a 6-star classic and hey, Dave, give me those star ratings, Dave, or any of those kind of inside nudge, nudge, wink, wink things. It's just him doing a wrestling promo, but with more authenticity than you see from like 95% of people. It's really interesting to see that this could be the start of something very special for this guy in AEW. We've been saying that they've kind of been needing a top babyface, and while I do think Swerve is kind of like, you know, ready to be that, he's getting the reactions right here. Will Ospreay is as well. Those Ospreay chants in the intro, they are deafening. They still need to figure out the whoa part in his song, but we'll get there.
Speaking of reactions, Sean's in the chat.
Oh, hi, Sean.
Just coming to say, hey, did Mercedes debut? What happened? SRS in the mud. We were putting you over earlier, bud. You can go back early. If you want to see some more people put you over and talk about your victory lap, I'd skip back about some 20 or so minutes where we were talking about you taking your victory lap. But hello, Sean. I'll text you later. Deonna cut a promo on Toni Storm. She's going to find a mystery partner for next week to have a tag match.
I don't know who that would be.
I don't know either. Be mad if it was Jamie Hayter.
I would be mad. I wouldn't be upset whatsoever, but yeah. We'll see.
Could be Britt Baker. Jay White then took on Darby Allin, who came out dressed as the Invisible Man. I loved this match. And the first 5 minutes of this match tell you everything. Everything you need to know about Darby Allin as a wrestler. Because Darby Allin is messed up from Revolution.
This man is mangled.
And it's all like, you know, some of it's he's working up, it's kayfabe and stuff, but he's all taped up and he's got his stitches. He only got 12 stitches from going through the glass and stuff. And every time he is hitting on his back, he is in agony.
Does a forward roll, grabs his back.
Yeah,
does a drop kick, grabs his back.
And he just gets knocked down, grabs his back, which means Jay White is constantly just doing moves where at one point he throws him into the corner and Darby Allin hits him. It's like, oh, and then just throws himself into the corner like 4 more times to be like, if I just do this enough, maybe I'll stop feeling that bit of pain. And his first big offensive move that he does in this is a senton from the top rope to the floor.
Yep.
Like, that's Darby Allin.
Yep.
A man who is in incredible amount of pain, but is like, I'm going to take this risk. And I loved that. Not only just about the first 5 minutes, but just this whole match.
This man is maybe the best TV wrestler I've ever seen. He's allergic to having a bad match. Darby, if you want to get anybody over, you just put him in a singles match with Darby Allin on TV. because it will be fantastic. And Jay White has not had a singles match in a very long time. And we had one here, and immediately it's like, oh, awesome. Yeah. He's right back to where he kind of needed to be.
Yep.
I was cringing and holding on for dear life as I was watching this match. I had to rewind, show people in the office for like three different spots because this man is a maniac.
Yeah. He took a suplex over. I know it was when he took an overhead suplex into a chair that was against the barricade.
Yep, that was the first one.
And then Jay White gets some steel steps. And he whips Darby into these steel steps. The steps trip up Darby, so he does this big flip dive over it, landing into the barricades.
Yep.
And this is like Darby Allin here was like, well, I'm not gonna be wrestling for a little while because I'm gonna go climb Everest. So I'm just gonna do all my big spots in this one, I guess.
Yep.
And he sure did. And then did the coffin drop to the apron spot. It's like, come on, man. Dive back in at 9, but got immediately hit by a Blade Runner for the win. I loved this.
I loved this match. I knew I would.
Uh-huh.
I knew this match would be good. And it was. And I loved it with all my heart. We got the promo last week talking about like, oh, Jay White, what have you done since and everything? And granted, I don't think Jay White's match with MJF was particularly good. I wouldn't blame him for that. I know he was frustrated afterwards and everything. It's more of a creative decision and such. But now, if we are ramping up this whole company, it feels like, and having dream matches and everything, throw Jay White as a top heel again into the mix with all of the great matches that you could produce, it's a good time to be an AEW fan if Jay White's getting hot.
Particularly because after the match, Jay offered a handshake, but it was a big fake out, and the guns were beating down Darby Allin. And they were going to pilmanize his ankle. They put the chair around it, they got Sting's bat, and they were about to hit it. And the Acclaimed run down. Because they're the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, the super group. And Daddy Ass, and Max Caster, and Anthony Bones, they're being like, guys, what are you doing? And the guns are like, yeah, sorry, what were we thinking? Like, this isn't what we do anymore. And Jay White's like, oh, yeah, sorry, it's just not what we do anymore. You're absolutely right. And the Acclaimed carry out Darby Allin to be like, look, we're going to carry you to the back. It's okay. And then Daddy Ass turns around, and Jay White waffles him with a chair.
Let's go! Let's go! It's over! It's over! Let's go! No more Bang Bang Scissor Gang! Woohoo! This is the best thing on the whole show.
And the guns beat up Daddy Ass, and the Acclaimed ran back down because they heard what happened, and they all beat them up as well, and then they pilmanized Darby's ankle anyway to write him off the show. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang are done. Bullet Club Gold is back. And Jay White is free.
I popped so big in the office when this happened. Holy smokes, baloney fudge and mustard. We are free from this act. I'm so happy. I never thought I would be so happy for an angle involving the Gun Club. But you know what? Don't care. It's better than what we were getting.
Do you know what? I was like, you could build to the six-man title unification at Dynasty. Do it on Collision.
Yep. Just like, do it this week.
Do it this week. Do it this Saturday. Get those belts all unified, and you can split these two teams away. Probably take the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass off TV for a little bit and just put some focus back on Bullet Club Gold. Because I miss my Bullet Club Gold from the early days of Collision.
Mm-hmm.
That's the group I want to see back. Let's get Juice back into this fold as well and get this group back to the magic that they were.
We've got this group with an awesome song that can now be a proper trios set of champions. I would probably put the belts on like the Elite or something, but still, this will be better than whatever these stupid scissor belts have become. If Anthony Bowens splits off from the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass and joins Bullet Club Gold, I would consider this perfection.
Mm.
Because at this point, I don't know what the hell Max Caster's doing on Twitter or anything, but I'm about sick of it. And he's just being a twat.
Really, really?
Yeah, a lot of people it's really getting on their tits about it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You can check it out afterwards, but like he's not doing himself any favors with fans. Ooh. And I'm ready. I'm done with this whole deal. And Anthony Bowens is one of the more talented people on the lower half of the roster that could definitely have upside if they wanted to slot him into some of that mid-card, you know, TNT, Continental Crown, international title picture. I'm ready for it. Yeah. He's ready for it. Let's make the move happen.
I wrote then in my notes, the first 90 minutes of this show have been amazing. Literally what I've written in my notes here, I was having such a good time. Then Chris Jericho came out. Look, at least I got to hear White Zombie. So
yeah.
It's 5 out of 5 show, and he won. So I've got to hear it again. But it was Jericho and Hook, Lion Hook, they've been branded as, taking on the Gates of Agony. They won when they did a Red Rum and Walls of Jericho combination. Jericho broke the hold to take out the other one, and Hook took out Bishop Khan with the Red Rum. This crowd were not into Chris Jericho on this night.
Nope.
And it's not unique to this night.
Nope.
He came out for Rampage, and I don't think he got a very good reaction there either. Nope. Once the Judas pop had finished, because he was doing commentary for that. Later on in the show, actually just after this match, he had a backstage interview with Renee, where he challenged Hook to a one-on-one match next week in Toronto, and you could hear the crowd booing the second Chris Jericho started talking. You want to talk about a guy who feels like you could do with taking some time off.
Mm-hmm.
Because this Jericho thing has not been working for a while.
No.
And it's really, really not working now.
What is it?
He's 90s Chris Jericho, I guess. He's just like, I'm back to being Lionheart Chris Jericho. I'm coming out of White Zombie. I'm going to have matches with CMLL guys because I had matches there in the 90s. I'm having matches tagging with Hook because I wrestled Taz in the 90s. Maybe, like, Jericho likes to attach himself to fads. So maybe, like, what he's doing is just all the hot things. So maybe because people are all about the 90s at the moment, he's like, I'm just going to attach myself to the concept of the 90s.
This man came back to WWE in 2007 and said that he did not want to be a nostalgia act. He wanted to reinvent himself. And this is where a lot of the, you know, the rose, well, I don't want to say rose tinted glasses because it was very good at the time, of Jericho reinventing himself kind of started. The get rid of the Y2J character in favor of the honest man suit wearing Jericho stuff. I cannot fathom a world in which that same man is currently being the nostalgia act to end all nostalgia acts here on AEW. We have moved past the need for Chris Jericho. Go back to WWE. Because when you look at the roster that everyone is absolutely losing their mind over, Jericho's not in the top 20 people of people I want to see on this show. He's not in the top 30 people. I could keep going because holy crap, bro. This guy sucks.
It's fairly boring matches. Like, well, boring's a strong word, but like uninspiring matches, I would say. Like, this was an uninspired tag match.
Yeah. His character is, I fought your dad 30 years ago, and thus, I'm going to hang out with you for a week.
And, like, is he just going to turn heel again on Hook? And then, like, I don't know, will lead to a longer-term Hook-Jericho program? The second they branded themselves Lion Hook, I was like, well, this ain't lasting long. Are we just waiting for Sammy to come back and, like, they'll reunite and do some stuff? Like, I don't know. Like, is Sammy getting suspended has probably hurt a lot of what Jericho's plans were. But I don't know, man.
It had been bad since long before that.
Well, it had. But that's because Jericho just has 18-month programs that, like, no one can escape from. Like, he's become the Jericho vortex that people just get stuck into.
It's a real thing, you know? And people gave Cody a lot of S-word for the Cody universe, the Cody-verse and everything. But I was always into whatever Cody was doing. Sure, it felt a little bit separate from, like, the rest of the show because he, you know, booked himself into a corner with the world title thing and everything. But, like, you know, the start of that Malakai Black thing was cool. You know, the Darby Allin feud that he had was really cool. And there was a lot of really good stuff still in Cody's run. What has been good with Jericho's run? He'll have a good match from time to time, but you know what? We've gotten to the point where there are enough good wrestling matches on this show that I don't care that he had a good ROH title reign a year and a half ago.
That's it. Like, the last thing I really enjoyed was the ROH title reign. The Ocho. Like, that's the last thing I really enjoyed about Jericho running AEW. And, like, I think you're right. Like, it's the... When Jericho was first brought in, when AEW first started, it made so much sense.
He was the perfect first champion. And the company would not have done nearly as well without him.
Absolutely could not agree with you more. Because, like, it is... He was the right guy at the right time as well. Because he was still hot. Like, he chose AEW over WWE and all this sort of stuff. It felt cool. He chose the indies over WWE. It felt like kind of, you know, righteous. And stuff.
He was on the first All In. He showed up at Wrestle Kingdom when New Japan is so hot.
Exactly. It was all this awesome stuff. But the time has passed. The company's a different place now. And he just does feel like an afterthought.
If he was still like absolutely firing on all cylinders and had the great character stuff like the early days of Le Champion and even the early days of the Jericho Appreciation Society before that whole thing got bogged down with a 9-month feud with the BCC, if those certain character things where he's cutting good promos, has interesting character motivations, is a unique character on TV, and you could slot him in a spot that no one else can slot into with different programs or whatever, sure, I would absolutely say that there's a place for Chris Jericho on this show. But there isn't. He's just a generic old timer now. And I've said on this show, maybe I haven't said on this show, and this is just a discussion that we were having in the office, where... You look, and I took this from a tweet, where you look at the difference between Sting, who went into AEW and came out of it undefeated, but made everyone he got in the ring with more over for it, and Jericho, who loses very often and has put over no one.
What did Powerhouse Hobbs get out of beating him? What did Takeshita get out of beating him?
Nothing. What did Adam Cole get out of beating him? What did Ricky Starks or Action Andretti get out of beating him?
What did Roddy get out of beating him? Roddy beat him on TV.
Nothing. This man loses so often and it means nothing because he doesn't actually put people over. He just loses.
He's kind of like almost kind of a Rob Van Dam in a way. Like, but he's on TV every week.
Sure.
So he's just, he's treated like an attraction, but he's not anymore.
I cannot fathom that this is the longest stretch of time that Jericho has continuously been on TV since his first run in WWE.
He's on TV every week.
And 99 to 2005. And then since then, it's been since, you know, 2019 to now. He's not taken time off.
And it feels like he has to be on TV every week. Like Tony Khan feels like, well, I've got to put Jericho out. Like, what have I got for Jericho this week? And I'm kind of done.
I am way past done.
Yeah, way past done. And the last thing to talk about is what is going to be happening this Saturday.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly taking on Brian Keith.
Yes.
He's got his first match back. And he's still cutting those promos where he's like, I've got to do this on my own, I guess. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to the match, but yeah, I don't really know what to expect. And Roddy walks up with the Kingdom and he's like, look, I respect you for going out there and doing this on your own. And they shook hands and they gave a little hug and the Kingdom fist bumped him and stuff. And then Kyle looked so unsure of himself, of like this sudden realization of, oh, I'm single star Kyle O'Reilly. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Insecure Kyle O'Reilly is going to be a fascinating character.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He's insecure. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing now. I haven't done this for a couple of years. This place is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. So I'm really excited to see what happens on Collision.
I love this man. I want nothing but the best for Kyle O'Reilly. Can't wait for this match. Love Brian Keith.
I can see him losing.
Could do.
Because he's just like, you know, it's you can play up the ring rust and the idea of like, what is it to be a singles guy now? I think there's a lot of mileage in this. And then it was the main event of Willow versus Rhea, which was very good. And then the Mercedes thing. So yeah, I thought it was an awesome show.
I thought this was one of the best episodes of Dynamite maybe ever. I thought this was one of the best shows I've seen this year. Barring one tag match that I will not remember tomorrow, this was pretty much a perfect show to me.
Yeah, this is easily a 5 out of 5 show for me.
Yeah, a home run.
Home run show. The Jericho stuff, I've got my issues with it, but it was also 7 minutes. Yeah. Like it was barely there.
Yeah.
I could have done without it, but you know, it is what it is. But I loved it. Let us know what you thought in the live poll that is up at the moment. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. we've got to shout out some very special people over at our Patreon page. Let me get up the list of names that I'm going to delay for a little bit. We're only in the middle of the month.
I was about to say.
I don't know where we are at the moment. But anyway, thank you so much to all of our wonderful pledgehammers over at patreon.com/rusttalk. Go over there now to get loads of cool exclusive content, like exclusive editions of Survival Series. Who was on the most recent Survival Series?
Well, who else but you, Colin?
I was on it.
It's a very fun prompt, that one.
Yeah, that was a really fun one, actually. Yeah, so you go check that out. Also, there's early access to Monday Night War, as well as the booking podcast and stuff, because the Monday Night War is back. Go check out that as well, please, over at Parts Fun Known. Just past 250,000 subscribers,
woo,
by the way. So thank you all for helping us reach that milestone. And if you are one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge members, you get your name read out on the show, like these fine folk: the Geordie bus driver, Harry.
Yeah. The Aztec warrior, Hector Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Murderous James Murtaugh.
Yeah.
WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
Yeah.
Spoken yesterday,
Jeremy Smith.
Yeah. John Jenkerson, son of Jenker.
The
yeah.
singing luchador, Joseph Santana.
Yeah. The saint, Joshua Peters.
Yeah.
The heir to the throne, Kay Dayers.
Yeah.
Too lot to handle, Lottie McCullough.
Yeah.
Manipulating Manny Umaria.
Yeah.
Needs the Manny Kashi outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is your Hall of Fame class for the 14th of March, 2024. Also, just a little bit of admin as well, if I may. If you were at our Royal Rumble watch party, you will have had an email about this. But due to logistical changes with the venues that we had been looking to work with that we cannot control, we unfortunately cannot be doing a WrestleMania watch party.
Boo.
Yeah, we were really looking forward to doing it. We have been working very hard behind the scenes to try and get this moving. But unfortunately, much like the Elimination Chamber, no matter how hard we were pushing for this to go, it was just not working out.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, because we should be back for them in terms of Backlash, the May Saudi show, which I think is May 25th.
The day before Double or Nothing.
It is the day before
Thanks
Double or Nothing.
Thanks for that.
And for Bash at Berlin, because those actually work in terms of our UK pub times. Because
yeah.
They are, like, you know, in the evening. So those will work out better. So we should be back for those. But yeah, unfortunately, we can't do the WrestleMania party. We will be doing WrestleMania watch party. We're doing live reactions to WrestleMania, though, because we did hear your comments from the last time we did Elimination Chamber reviews. Heard what you said. So we're going to be doing WrestleMania watch reactions.
Yeah.
We're doing them live here in the studio. So you can come and join us to live react along with WrestleMania on night one and night two.
You get to see the reaction to Roman Reigns beating Cody again.
Ket here says, glad to see Monet is in AEW and I'm interested to see what she does. However, I'm just a bit burned by multiple top women names entering AEW and just falling to the wayside months later. I just don't trust Tony's booking. I hope this time will be different. Ket, I completely 100% agree with you on every other name.
Yeah.
You cannot afford to do it with Mercedes. Cap Lives says, my first time watching an AEW review, my first time watching AEW in years. Fun episode. I'm a big fan of Mercedes, and it was awesome to see her treated like the megastar that she is. We have an unknown username. Please do let our moderators know what your name is, because it's a Streamlabs issue. It said, it was great seeing how big AEW made Mercedes look and feel. I do want theme makers to put classical music. I do want theme makers to put the classical music down. In terms of stop using it, I guess.
That's what I'm getting from it.
Do you think Deonna's mystery partner will be the return of Britt or Jamie, or a debut like Camille? Jericho aside, great show. Britt or Jamie, Britt's where I'm more leaning, I think.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Yeah. But, well, we'll see. I really don't have any idea what it would be.
Kay, Luke, the criticism of AEW not introducing fans to wrestlers isn't about popular ones like Sasha. It's about unknown wrestlers, like who the F is Titan. But that was the joke.
Yeah.
That was my joke, is that, yeah, okay.
And also, if you actually watch the show, they tell you who Titan is.
Yeah. And, you know, you learn by watching. You learn by watching them in the ring.
John Cena didn't get a promo package the first time that he came out. Granted, he was coming out from developmental.
Yeah.
But, like, same thing.
It's the same thing. Noshua 4 said, hey guys, with AEW hitting the ground running this year, this product feels incredibly hot. With Monet now coming in, could we see an upcoming pay-per-view main evented by the women's roster? Also, can't wait to hear a Wembley erupt in bruv chants for Ospreay. Yeah, I think they probably would.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of work out when things are going to happen, because obviously Mercedes will have a very big match at Wembley Stadium, whether that's against somebody like a Jamie Hayter or whoever. I definitely think there are people in the top mix right now that I could very easily see main eventing a pay-per-view. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be that one, because whatever Will's going to do is going to be pretty big, I also would assume. But regardless of if it's Wembley or not, I definitely see Mercedes or somebody in the mix there main eventing a pay-per-view probably 100%. Sooner than later.
I think so as well. I wonder if Mercedes going into AEW is going to have the same effect that Ronda going to WWE had for WWE.
Ooh, that's curious.
Because WWE took their women's wrestling seriously once they had Ronda.
Yeah.
You can talk about the women's revolution all we want. And sure, it certainly changed the way that women's wrestling was perceived on the show, but it was not a WrestleMania main event until Ronda came in.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and I don't want to go into a whole history lesson with this or nothing like that, but it was also helped out by the fact that Raw did not really have a top star at the time, because, you know, Brock was on one of his many sabbaticals with the title for much of the year, and then Roman was gone with leukemia at the time, so it also helped that Ronda Rousey was the star of Raw during most of that year, whereas I don't know if Mercedes will be the star of AEW. True. Because their roster is much more stacked mm-hmm. than WWE's was at the time. So it'll be a matter of like presentation in that sort, whereas the other one was more in need of necessity.
Yeah. James here says, poor Wardlow. Every time it seems like he's about to get a push, he gets derailed by circumstances out of his control. At least we'll get Swerve as champ. However, what do you do with the Undisputed Kingdom? At this point, I wish they would just split apart. I don't want them to split apart. It's just, they're going to spin their wheels for a bit.
Yeah, you inject both Adam Cole and MJF with some of Wolverine's blood
yeah.
and hope that you can get them both wrestling matches pretty soon.
Yeah. Rob Steedley here says, Wardlow, Statlander, Pack, just naming people that should have had more on this show. The championship main event. The story of Willow and Statlander, I hope, will be great. And Pack came back to lose. I don't have much faith in AEW. Will Ospreay is the man.
Well, I don't know how much I agree with any of that, I'll be perfectly honest, because this was the show for the women to main event, you know? Sure, there were other matches on this show that you would make the argument on any other week probably would main event this show, but this was the Mercedes Moné show, and she was going to close out the show and open it and everything. So that's the reason for that. Pac has always sort of been the guy that is going to work with a lot of the really big stars and have incredible matches. And by the looks of things, it definitely seems like he's going to be wrestling at Dynasty with Kazuchika Okada. So if they build him up mm-hmm. for the next, you know, month and a bit and have that big match with Okada, I don't think him losing a match means too much when he's losing to Okada.
That's it. And like, you know? To kind of, you know, the counter to Rob's point there would be like, what? So Okada came back just to lose?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, not everyone can win all the time.
Yeah. It's not like he got pinned either.
Yeah. Wins and losses matter, but you can't win every match. So, yeah, I don't think I agree with that.
Yeah.
Matt here says, we're in the best era of wrestling. Both WWE and AEW have been creatively satisfying, so everyone wins. Within the last year, we've seen a lot of free agents sign with AEW and WWE. We've seen big free agents like Edge, Okada, Ospreay, White, and Mercedes sign with AEW. On the WWE side of things, big names like Punk, Cargill, Andrade, Kairi Sane, and Naomi. This is what I want from wrestling. Two big companies that are putting on great products signing the best is why choice is important in wrestling. It's cool.
It is sort of one of those things where in the early days of AEW, when it was just a bunch of people signing there, I was like, this is really neat, but I am looking forward to like after that first 3 or 4 year period where some of these contracts start to expire and you start seeing people go back.
Yep.
Because that's like, that reminds me then of like Monday Night War type thing where you've got people going to WCW, WCW guys going to WWE. And it's just, it's a more exciting vibe when people are crossing over both ways.
I think people get tied to this idea of loyalty.
It's stupid.
Which I don't buy into. Like, you know, Mercedes Moné being like, oh yeah, I'll probably go back to WWE before my career is over. It's like, yeah, because your career's not going to be over. And people are like, oh, she's just going to go straight back to stuff. It's like, her career's not over for a long time.
She's like 30.
Yeah, she's gone quite a few years, like, on her bump card and stuff. Her bump card, I should say. So, like, she'll be fine. And, yeah, she probably will go back to WWE, but I would probably expect that. She hasn't got loyalty to AEW. She hasn't got loyalty to WWE either. She's
Stop
got
being loyal to businesses.
She's loyal to Mercedes. Like, yeah. she's loyal to herself.
Get that bag.
Like, so yeah, absolutely. Like, Will's not loyal to AEW. He might feel some level of loyalty, but if he goes to WWE and like, oh, he stabbed AEW in the back. No, he went and got some money because he's Will, who he's got to be loyal to. Like, it just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm Just Marcus said, love the debut. It was excellent. Hopefully they use her properly. And how is her hair even possible?
I wonder that every time I see her.
It's a wig?
I would reckon it's usually a wig.
Blows my mind every time I see it. I'm excited for Ospreay versus Danielson. And I need Jericho to go away for a while. Okada versus Eddie. I'm so ready.
Bars.
Space Viking said, I know this isn't always the answer, but I genuinely want to see what WWE can do with Wardlow, Starks, and Big Bill. All are awesome, the latter recently, and yet AEW has made it pretty clear where their ceiling is. Just my two Okada cents. Okada, though, wow, who'd have thought? Got me thinking, has Okada ever been a legit babyface, or is he a tweener on the side of good? Also, is Jay crazy? Just something I've been picking up on in his promos. I love his wrestling style.
Okada was definitely a babyface.
Oh, yeah.
Okada came into New Japan as a heel, but it was like after the first year or so, you know, he then kind of became a tweener that like people really liked, and he earned the respect of people, and he didn't change his attitude too much until after that. But it was once he had gotten in and was wrestling the people in Bullet Club where it was like, oh no, he is the defending force, defending the honor of New Japan Pro Wrestling and that such. So he's definitely been a babyface, but a more cocky, pretty boy kind of babyface than like Tanahashi was.
I'm Just Marcus said, chatting again to say, love heel Okada and the Elite. I can't wait for them to keep getting more and more evil, and then battle cry hits and we start building to Omega Okada again.
The idea that that could be at Wembley Stadium and I could be in attendance, like, I don't let myself think about it too much because I will just wet myself.
Moss Connection, I did not want to like Ospreay because he's always the got you awful guys fans used to use against me when I was getting into wrestling. But he's just so likable. I hope he does super well, and I hope new fans of his can be treated kindly.
He's working out well as a baby. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen Will Ospreay as a babyface in a few years, but he's really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Nick Smith said, I want Eddie to drop that belt to Okada, then give us a backstage segment of dejected Eddie ruling after a loss. Someone walks off camera. It's Mox and Brian with a BCC hoodie for him. Eddie in the Combat Club versus the Elite for a Bullet Club Gold for the Trios titles at Double or Nothing.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be Mox and Claudio in the tag tournament, though.
I do too. Like, yeah. I don't know how, but like, there's a lot of emotion there. And that just immediately is very tantalizing.
So mad here. Tempest, I don't want Jericho in WWE. The WWE product is red hot ever since Triple H took over. I don't want Jericho ruining that hot streak. The only way I want him in WWE is for a Hall of Fame induction.
Listen, if the other option is him just going away, I'm fine with that too.
Rob here says, had my birthday recently. Happy birthday. And my partner got tickets for our first indie show in June. I'm sure all the unknown names on the card, like Nemeth, Cardona, Elijah, and Hammerstone, all have potential, but I'm really excited to see Brian Cage just murder someone.
Yeah, all those unknown names.
The Vaporwave Mothman said, I would really love a big meaty man match at WrestleMania since we didn't get one at Revolution. And if Big E is still injured, he'd be amazing on commentary. Just his excitement alone would make it a must-watch match.
At any point, if Big E showed up on my TV, that show gets 10 million stars.
The Big E Meet Invitational.
Sounds good to me.
Big E introduced them all, then goes and joins commentary. Oh, and it's full, like, New Day podcast Big E.
Yeah, who is out of his mind in the best way possible.
Oh, it'd be so fun. Stormzy Beans said, or Stormy Beans. Hi, guys. I just want to thank you all at Rest Talk and No Rolls Barred for your amazing content. After losing my mum last weekend to cancer, wishing you guys have been a great distraction for me, and you never fail to put a smile on my face. Jam that jam. Well, thank you so much, and I'm so sorry to hear that. That sucks, man. So I'm really sorry. I hope you're doing okay.
Very sorry to hear that, indeed.
The Man Game says, can I get a shout out to my amazing wife, Jessica, for giving birth to our son yesterday in the hospital car park?
Not the best place to do it, but well done, Jessica. Shout out to you.
Absolutely, shout out to you. That actually nearly happened to my friend with their second. Like, her first birth was pretty quick, and they say that the second is usually about half the time, and so they were pretty panicky anyway, and then it nearly just happened in their kitchen.
Lord.
She was like, we're not going to get there in time. This is just going to happen soon. E. Michael 23 said, this channel and Fightful helped me get back into professional wrestling and gave me a much needed outlet for when life gets tough. 5 years sober now, and your content has helped me along the way. Thank you. Congratulations to you, by the way.
Very much.
That is not an easy journey. So well done.
Well-earned milestone.
Absolutely. And Eric M. Disc Golf has become a member.
Woo!
So let's end the poll to find out what you thought of this show. And it is another landslide result. 85% thumbs up, 11% thumbs in the middle.
There you go.
Yeah.
People like this show.
People like this show. I like this show.
I like this show a lot. The sun shines a little bit brighter. It helps that it's a gorgeous day outside today, but the sun just shines a little bit brighter when a damn fine wrestling show happens the night before.
Thank you all so much for watching the Rest Talk podcast. Please do press the subscribe button if it's your first time here and you haven't already. Leave a comment down below. Give us a little thumbs up as well. Very soon, we'll be having an update on our 85,000 subscriber goal where we're going to do a 10-hour watch party. We're working on the plans for that, so that'll be coming up relatively soon-ish. I'm just not going to put a date on when it's going to happen. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been Tempest. We'll see you this Saturday for the SmackDown review. It's me and Sat. Jam that jam!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.